Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Great to be here again. And I'm not going to speak on hell, the gnashing of teeth. So you can be okay with that one. It's Christmas. So I'm going to be focusing on Jesus predicts his death again the second time. And we'll get into that and get some practical things from the scripture. I mean, Advent is such a great time. It's a time of the arrival, the significance. Delana, how are you doing? The arrival, and it signifies a start of an event or the coming of a person. And Jesus already came the first time he came. He died. The fact that we're sitting here today is because of that first coming. He came. He laid his life down. He humbled himself. He became a servant, serving the world, becoming the savior of the world. That first arrival caused us to be here, but it's also the second coming. We don't hear that so much about the second coming, that Jesus is coming again. And we have to prepare ourselves for when he comes. And when he comes, he's coming to take his sons and his daughters, and we'll go up on a cloud, which is a good thing. I like that, going up in a cloud with Jesus. And the people that died first in Christ will rise. What an occasion. But I'll come and share that another time. So Jesus predicts his death the second time. So the sermon title to this morning is The Upside Down Kingdom, Finding Greatness in Service. Finding greatness in service. And so it is about this upside down kingdom. In the world that we're living in now, it's very clear. They've got this idea that greatness looks like you need to have wealth, power, influence, success. And the system of the world tells us that if you climb the highest ladder, you have achieved greatness. Where Jesus' kingdom is totally the opposite. That's why anyone who whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It isn't about we need to accumulate things for Jesus to say, Jesus, this is who we are. We bring our gifts and our abilities to you. Jesus didn't need it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he came to do. So today we're going to, like I said, we're going to look only Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to verse 37. Rudy, I would love you to, you need to do voiceovers, Rudy. You do need to do voiceovers. I felt that one. I felt it. So I'm just going to do 7 verses. We're going to look at this and see what Jesus mean. Like Jesus challenges the notion and shows us that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God operates differently. In fact, it's what we call this upside down kingdom. Jesus is just, you know, when I studied this, I'm just thinking how Jesus set a standard for all of us that we can reach. You don't need to have great faith. He said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can tell the mountain to move and it will move. So Jesus' standard is not high that we cannot reach. It is very simple, right? And so Jesus, when the world says about wealth and power and influence and success, Jesus is saying the opposite. Jesus is saying the opposite to all of us. So as we dive in the passage, I want us to consider these two questions. What does greatness look like in God's kingdom? Greatness. What does that look like in the kingdom? And then the second question is, how do we embrace that greatness in our everyday life? The world says greatness is wealth and all these things. In the kingdom of God, we'll find in the scripture what greatness looks like. And I believe that when you leave this room today, you will go into the week and say, I'm great. Because we're going to look at the standard. What does that look like? So the kingdom of heaven, I'm always passionate about the kingdom of heaven. The only message Jesus preached was the kingdom of heaven has arrived. That's the only message Jesus preached. He kept preaching the same message. And Dr. Miles Monroe gives a very good definition about what the kingdom is like. The kingdom is a governing influence of a king or a queen over a territory, impacting that territory with their will, with their purpose, with their character, and with their nature, and having a citizenry of people, brothers and sisters, who reflects the king's values. That's what it is. Whatever Jesus came to show as ambassadors, as children of God, and as citizens of the kingdom, we are called to do the same. What Jesus has done, that is what we need to do. And so it is His will, His purpose, His character, and His nature. So if we go to verse 30, it says, "Then Jesus left that place and passed through Galilee." Jesus did not want anyone to know. Oh, am I in the right place? No, I'm not. Yeah. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because He was teaching His disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill Him, and after 3 days He will rise." He will rise. But they did not understand what He meant and were afraid to ask Him about it. This is now the disciples, Jesus saying, "I'm going to die. In 3 days' time, I'm going to rise back up again." This is the second time Jesus told the disciples that. The first time He told them, it was in Mark chapter 8, verse 30, 31, where Jesus is actually saying that he will be delivered into the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that He's going to be killed, and then on the third day rise. So this is the second time. What was fascinating for me when I read this, if He told them the first time, why didn't they respond? Because He already told them. And now the second time He's telling them, but it says verse 32, but they did not understand what He meant and were afraid to ask Him about it. That was just very significant in what they're saying, because they were expecting a political leader. They were expecting a militant leader. They were expecting a king to come and overthrow the Roman kingdom. So they did not, whatever Jesus told them the first time, it just went over their head. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, you're going to die. You're not going to die. You're supposed to overthrow the Roman kingdom. And so they didn't actually look into it. But the second time, Jesus tells him again. They had their own ideas, like I said, about the Messiah and what the Messiah should be looking like. They didn't think of a suffering servant. That doesn't make sense. It's about power. Remember, the world is about power, because Rome was the strongest kingdom. They ran the whole world. So what they were looking at, we're looking for a leader who can come and overthrow. And that was their vision about Jesus. That's why they didn't understand what he was on about. Verse 33, they came to Capernaum, where He was in the house. He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" They were arguing about. Did you guys know what the argument was about? What was the argument about? Who's the greatest? That doesn't make sense. Listen, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise. That wasn't the conversation. Sometimes Jesus tells us something, but we were the fairies. We are over there. They didn't even say, oh, shame. You're going to go through that. Oh, sorry, mate. They said, who's going to be the greatest? Wow. Verse 34, but they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. We said that. Jesus, as a rabbi, as a teacher in the rabbinical culture, the Jewish culture, the teachers would stand and they would read the scroll in the synagogue, right? They would read the scroll, so they would stand up. But when a rabbi sit down, that's a time for teaching. And He sat down with His disciples and is asking them, what was the argument about? Nobody said nothing. I mean, Peter was like, tell him, John, you said you're the greatest, John. And James is like, no, man, I'm the greatest. They were arguing about this. And what I love about Jesus, and I think this is what we can learn, doesn't matter what people say about you. If you know God's purpose and calling upon your life, people's opinions does not matter. Jesus said to them, I'm going to die. Not that He needed their kind of validation. He said, I'm going to die because the world, there's people in Lisbon 2024 that will sit and hear the message. I'm going to die for them. He didn't ask them, please help me in this. He came, He focused, and He stayed true to His purpose. while these guys were talking about who's the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. So if there's anything about standards, Jesus is saying it's not about being the greatest like the world system. Jesus is saying you have to be a servant. And in order for us to understand the upside down kingdom, finding greatness is in service. It's in service. I mean, we heard about the rainbow of hope. It's been for many years, right? Would we say, is it Elizabeth, right? Is she great? It's service, right? The greatness comes through service. And the best place we can start by service is in the church. We serve one another, and we esteem others higher than ourselves. That's greatness. That's greatness. And these guys were talking about who are the greatest, and Jesus now gives the criteria. He's giving the criteria to them. What makes a great? What makes a great? If you want to be great, what is the criteria for that? He says, he took a little child. I mean, what's the boy's name? What? Atma. The brother just farts, man. Do you know what I mean? He is in a world. I loved it. I was like, go on, man. Do you know? Because he was just like, listen, I'm just free. And the Bible says we have to become like little children. We are so focused on who says this, what says this, what are they going to say about me? What do they think about me? The brother's just walking here. The brother's like, come on, man. It's just like, and he's out there now. Jesus brings this child to the disciples and it says, you have to become that, like this little child. That's the standard. But in Jewish culture, children were seen, not heard. Because in the culture, it's like they're insignificant. Insignificant. They had no power. I mean, that child must have been, Jesus, why are you calling me? Because I'm not supposed to be among the adults. And Jesus is saying, this is unless you become like a little child. What happens? He says, he took a little child to whom he placed among them, taking the child in his arms, and he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little ones, the children, in my name, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So I just love that. Like, we wouldn't do that, isn't it? You would have like a fart, but you will make sure, please, I hope the neighbor doesn't listen to that one. But he is just, I loved it. I said, Jesus, you're such a sense of humor. And I was looking for a story for a kid. And he showed up today. Jesus, I'll just send him to you. You know, and it's like, I was like, I almost said, go on, another one. I don't know. I was just like, there is nothing in his mind where he goes home today and say, oh yeah, I should have done it in the church. Listen, the brother is free. He is free. And Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And that's the thing for me that just stood out about Jesus. It's about humility, service, and sacrifice. I mean, this time of the year is always such an amazing time for me because I always reflect this time of the year how God has led me, because the coming of Jesus, the first coming, but it's also now is a time for me to be, Lord, what giftings have you given me? So that when you come back, that I'll be ready, that I'll serve the world with what you've given unto me. So it is a reflecting where I reflect on what Christ has done for me at this time of the year. It's great to have what do we have in Somerset? We have our sticky pudding, the sticky pudding kind of thing. And it's great to have all these things, but is the fact if Jesus didn't come as a child, grown into be a man, die for our sins, then all of this would be in vain. Jesus came and he will come. He will come again. So verse 30, to go back to verse 33 and verse 34, the debate about the arguing with these guys. They were more concerned about what the world wants to. And I think the older I get now, the less friends I want to have, which is a good idea. A lot of friends gossip. I'm just looking for brothers and sisters who know their calling in Jesus. The greatest in the kingdom is to be a servant. I'm looking for those people in my life. I'm making some friends redundant by 2025. It is with great sadness, but I'll do a Lord Sugar. It is with regret, but you fired. I'm looking for brothers and sisters who understand their calling, because when you understand your calling, you'll serve the world. When I understand my calling, serve the world. All of us have giftings here. And imagine if we serve one another with the giftings that God has given unto us. The world will see and they will know that we are His disciples. Just that. It is very simple. The world will know. And like Elizabeth, like with Rainbow of Hope, it's about the lost, the least, the broken, the marginalized, the widow, the orphan. It's about serving those people. I love it in school when it's kind of strange that a lot of parents call me now and say, would you like to coach my son who's got ADHD? Now, I don't know in terms of how do we work with ADHD. But the Holy Spirit said, you just show compassion. And you show that they are accepted in your presence. I will do the work. So I said, that's what God has called me to serve. So I'll serve the world. That's what we need to do in order for us to be great in the kingdom, is to be servants. Understand your gift. Stir up your gift. Equip yourself and serve the world with that. Serve the world with that. Matthew 18 verse 1 to 5 says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom? Remember now, Mark is a different version. Mark is now saying in the gospel from his perspective, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about going to heaven. It's enter in the values, the purposes, the beatitudes, the fruit of the Spirit. That is entering in. God will give you insight in a world where people ask, where did you get that insight? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature when he was 12 years old. That's the kingdom. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 4 when he asked, he came in the middle of the night, said, Jesus, we know that you are a rabbi sent by God. A man with your power cannot do these things by himself unless God is with you. How can I enter into the kingdom? That's what he asked. How can I enter into the kingdom? And Jesus says, unless you become born again, you won't enter into it. So it's not about going to heaven. It's about when Jesus changed your life from the inside out, he gives you perspectives that goes beyond your education. That's it. You'll see things that other people can't see. That's why Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, illuminated. You'll see things. What's amazing, I can go into school and then I just go in and I was like, Lord, I thank you that I'm a servant. No pressure, really, because I don't know what's waiting for me. But as I go in, I tap into something, a different dimension. So the teacher says, oh, Ricardo always got an answer. And I'm just thinking in my head, I didn't have nothing. And I still have nothing. I'm just thankful that God gave me something by his Holy Spirit. And once we understand that God has called each one of us, and this is what he's saying, unless you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So it's not about service. It's not about status. It's about service. Jesus is making an example. I'm not saying fart like my little brother. I'm saying, what it's saying is like, be as free as him. Not cares in the world. He's not going to go home and reflect about what he did today. That's gone as soon as it came out. It's gone. Don't care about nothing. He's just on the way. He wants to do some painting in there. And wants to do some writing and coloring in there. He forgot. We as people, we stick to well, I didn't do this, and I'm so this and this. And we stick there the whole time. And God is saying, forget those things which are behind you and stretch forth towards the prize of the high calling. And we're still there, but yet, this is what God is saying, unless we become like little children. That's why I love working with youth and young kids. I just love it. What comes out of their mouth, you just never know. They didn't plan it. They didn't pray about it. It just comes out. And you think, whoa, that's a bit. Where did you get that from? I don't know. They eat the crisps and off they go. It's like just that freedom. Because if we become selfish with our gifts, James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, this is now in the world, selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practices. Envy and jealousy. We shouldn't be jealous about each other's gifts. We should encourage one another with each one of our gifts because it serves one another. I preach the way I preach. I didn't think about how I need to preach. God just gave it to me. Just like, listen, this is just you. Go, off you go. And I like it. There might be other preachers. I'm like, yeah, mate, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. But don't compare yourself with me. And I'm not comparing myself to you. If you do what you do, I do what I need to do. And together, collectively, there's diverse of gifts. And all of us reach the world. This is what LBC, this is what the church needs to be about. So the object lesson today is that the greatest in the kingdom of God is not about, again, like I said, it's not about status. It's about service. And the least of this, Jesus said, the least, the orphan, the widow, the prostitute, the drug dealer, if we can serve them, they will see the love of God in us. And they will, if they welcome us into their life, they welcome God. If somebody welcomes you in their house and they are atheists, what they don't know, they shouldn't have invited you through that door. Because when you go into the house, you are representing the kingdom of heaven and they've accepted God in their house, but they will still say, I don't believe there's a God. Mate, you just invited me. I'm not saying I am God, but I am the extension of, I'm the embassy of heaven coming into your house. And the one who sent me loves you. That is just the lost, the least, and the broken. That's what God is saying. So, let's take time to answer that question that I asked you in the beginning. What does greatness look like to you in the kingdom? And how can you embrace greatness in your everyday life? So, as we leave today, may we ask the Holy Spirit. May we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live out the countercultural call to greatness. The countercultural. May we be servant leaders in the kingdom of heaven by embracing humility, service, and sacrifice. That's what we are called to do. So in this time of Christmas, I pray God's favor over your families, everybody connected to you. I pray for some people it's a bit hard at this time, but I pray God's peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and your mind at this time, knowing that the God, the Prince of Peace, is with you always, and he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you, even though circumstances is the way it is, but God will carry us, he will hold us, and he will send the brothers and sisters amongst us and around us to encourage us and inspire us. So if you haven't encouraged anybody in this church, then I say start today. Find somebody in the church they've never encouraged. Encourage them, because we don't know what the person next to you is going through. But if we want to be great, then be the servant. God bless you.